Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 632. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
You know, this is a great week for news. Donald Trump convicted of sexual abuse. George Santos in custody. But the best story is that Jeff's colleague has a massive dick.
Not getting into it.
I mean, I don't think we want you to get into it.
He's already getting into it himself. Like, you don't.
Yeah. I mean, we're not gonna out him on his activities on the podcast, but it sounds like he has fun being a man. He always suffers.
Earl is here as well.
I can't top Jeff's coworker's mass cock, so.
I mean, few can.
I mean, I'm pretty sure he'll let you top it if you want to.
Oh, no. Jeff is here as well.
I have no comment except that I really want to play Zelda right now.
I get that.
You got just under 2 hours. Well, let's say 2 hours because that midnight launch never goes off at midnight.
You got to wait till like 2 or 3 minutes after. Because you don't want that disappointment of, this is not ready yet.
Yeah, I've done that, where it's like, it's supposed to be ready. It's a pre-order?
Got to give them a couple seconds.
Yeah. Hit the switch when the clock strikes over, people.
So it's also very weird, because I believe as we're recording right now, they're doing like a playthrough with the Treehouse crew.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's helping or hurting people. And just off the game 2 hours before it comes out.
The weirdest marketing cycle, too. Like,
I mean, to be fair, they didn't need to market it.
No, but it's just like weird. Like the week before, like we're gonna start doing commercials, and now we're gonna do like gameplay playthrough.
Yeah. I'm gonna be the depressed Zelda dad in about 2 hours. Did everyone catch that awesome commercial?
So wild.
It's like sad.
And then he's finally he's getting into the game, and then he looks up and the sun has come out, and now he's happy.
Yeah.
What a weird commercial.
You know, I did not click to read the story about this, but I heard it was based on an Amazon review of Breath of the Wild.
Yes, I read that.
That's correct.
Too.
Yeah. So it was someone like that was like, you know, like basically Breath of the Wild saved them, and Nintendo decided to make a commercial out of that. It kind of, you know, I like the commercial actually. I've watched it like a billion times now. So
that's me.
Is this like a? I mean, that's a long commercial. I'm assuming this is not like a TV commercial. This is more.
Well, I mean, I think one of the things that's very fascinating is that we've all seen it. But as far as I can tell, it's actually not. It's an Australian commercial.
So it's okay. Yeah, I thought it was like Europe or something like that. That's what I thought. But do they play it on TV there? I don't know.
Like, I mean, but yeah, it's like, it's so weird because, like, yes, it's one of those commercials where I'm almost certain it probably doesn't go on TV that often anyhow, but it's probably one that a lot of people are going to see because of the internet.
I mean, they've done their job. We've seen it.
Yeah.
Not that they needed to market Tears of the Kingdom to you or Jeff, so.
Well, I mean, according to the internet, they need to market it, but they can't show anything or tell you anything about the game.
Yeah, they can't. They didn't market it well enough, but also anybody talking about it is evil.
Like, even Nintendo, people were mad that they mentioned that there's Dungeons & Dragons games on Twitter yesterday. And I'm like, oh, but I mean, like, we had this discussion in another DM group I'm in. It's like, I don't think the company can spoil something. Then it's a feature. If they're like, oh, there's dungeons, it's not like people are like, oh, you're spoiling. I'm like, but it's from the horse's mouth. That's confirmation, not a spoiler.
And it's a mate. Like, I don't know if anybody's going to be like, yeah, I'm in on this because there's dungeons. But yeah. I think it was a major point of contention with the last one that people were like, this doesn't feel like Zelda because it's missing what I like about Zelda. And like a big thing that people like is those dungeons. So
yes, which I get. And even from reviews, it sounds like they're still not necessarily getting those traditional dungeons in the way they want.
Right.
Dude, I had all this info last week as we were recording. I was actually going to talk about it, but we did not get on the topic.
Oh, so. No. I mean, I've known about it for, I mean, since the game leaked whenever it did. But
yeah, again, yeah. I was in deep.
I know a lot of stuff that I don't go around telling people because why? I don't mind. Like, I don't care. Like, it doesn't change my experience that it has dungeons. I was going to buy the game. I'd figure it out in, like, the first hour or two, so.
Right, and maybe it does change somebody's opinion that was like, well, I wasn't really big into Breath of the Wild, so, this one has dungeons. Maybe
yeah, there were definitely people. I mean, I'm one of the people that, like, you know, I love Breath of the Wild, but I was like, you know, you guys know, I've been saying it for fucking ever, like, want them dungeons. And this is still, they're still not, like Earl said, they're not, like, totally like the old dungeons, but they have a lot more of the characteristics and... You know, there's like a fire temple, there's a wind temple.
Yeah, they're elemental theme.
Yeah.
Reviews seem pretty good. I mean,
they're okay.
There's that 6 of 10 I like. That was a good review.
That review was like if I reviewed it.
Yes, I was like, this guy is writing like I reviewed Breath of the Wild.
Like, but from, like, the perspective of, like, I'm comparing Breath of the Wild to Odyssey, and I desperately want that game to be Game of the Year, and so I'm going to make Breath of the Wild sound as terrible, terrible as possible. That is his perspective right there.
He wants it to be Odyssey?
Yeah. No, he wants to hate it. Like, he just wants to hate it in comparison to something else that he thinks is better. That's kind of the whole...
It's one of those, like, I'm not rating it based off of what it is, but what I want it to be or what I would prefer it to be. Yeah.
And don't get
me wrong. I do think there is value. I think, you know, like, I mean, both of you that aren't the big Breath of the Wild fans, we've discussed that. I think there's value in having people who were not Breath of the Wild fans or people who are Zelda fans review it, because you do want that. You don't necessarily, oh, man, it's a diehard Zelda fan, I guess. But yeah, it's like one of those things where it's like you have to, like, know what you're reviewing. You can't be like, oh, this isn't what I want from this game.
Yeah, and I mean, that Tony's right. I mean, that review very much was like, I mean, he did not like Breath of the Wild either, it seems. Like, he likes the traditional Zelda format.
I like that too.
But like that was his main bone of contention with it, right? That's what he wanted out of it, and Breath of the Wild didn't give him that, and that was where he ended up at.
I would gladly welcome new, more traditional Zelda. I don't know if we'll ever get that again, but
I honestly think, I hope, at least after 2, because yes, I still prefer traditional Zelda as well. I think after 2 of these games, it would be nice, if nothing else, to, like, because, I mean, one of the big things with this one is, like, it does use the same world of Breath of the Wild. So even if it's just to, like, create a new world, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with, like, going back to it and, like, maybe making this a once-in-a-generation style of Zelda. You can have traditional 3D Zelda, this open-world Zelda, and if you have time, make a in-between-world type Zelda.
I think more likely you will get the more traditional Zeldas out of 2D ones.
Yeah, I think so too. But yes, I mean, it's like Mario. Mario does the big open Odyssey type games. They do the 3D world in between, and then they did the 2D ones.
Confirmed. New Legend of Zelda. That's the brand name. New Legend.
No.
That would be awesome.
I'm in on that. Give me 2D Zelda. That's what I want.
Sure. Give me another one that, like, looks like Link's Awakening. I would take that. Like,
super pretty. Yep.
But, you know, yeah, just like an original thing. I'd take Wind Waker 2 in 3D, you know, like, but honestly, like, I love them. But I think if you made me choose, I would choose the new style. I really do think I would, except for just keep making the dungeons closer to how they used to be.
I think I get what you like out. Like, you like to just kind of, like, run around the whole world and like see what you can explore and just like pick a point, go over here. And
there's so many surprises in Breath of the Wild. Like just the, like the shrines, just being able to find a mini dungeon in any direction is just so cool. And
I need a little bit more structure. like here is your main path, and then like if I want to wander off, I can. But that's not kind of how I felt Breath of the Wild was, and I restarted it recently. Like maybe I miss it. Maybe like I'm just gonna give it another go. And like there's just like it really does come down to I hate the degradation of the weapons, and I know, which they didn't get rid of. Which they didn't get rid of. They like I guess you can repair weapons now. I wonder if the
Master Sword is back, because like really to me it became irrelevant once you got the Master Sword. But I don't know.
Which I never got, and I played like 15 hours of that game. And
you're probably close. You need 13 hearts. 13 hearts, you could go get it.
I don't think I had that, and like I ended up just getting lost a lot of the time in that game. Like I don't know what I'm doing, and that's a me issue for sure. But
oh, no, it just didn't click with me. I think that's a fair issue, especially as like. Because, yes, I do think sometimes with open world games that can be an issue where it's like you want to give this freedom, but like, people want some of that structure because you also want to be able to go and actually do that stuff. I mean, you know, like we all lament or make fun of Ubisoft, but there's a reason they do their waypoints everywhere so that you have... so that you can, you know, like have things to check out throughout the course of the game.
Oh, right, and you always know that, like, this is your next main objective.
Yes, and I think that was a big part. It's like, Zelda does give you objectives, but there's not a main objective. Like, yes, there is one objective.
No, Ganondorf.
Yes, but like...
you gotta do all the fun stuff to level up enough to get there, that's all.
I mean, yes, to be fair, I guess you can... go and
like the king in the beginning, he like basically goes like, yep, like you gotta defeat that dude over there, you ain't strong enough yet, so just jump out here with your parachute and go to some village on this dark map and figure it out. And I got to like where the stable was and I was like, I think I'm good again, and started playing Mario Kart. I hope you guys have fun with it. I really do.
I have little doubt. I have zero doubt.
Do you have it pre-ordered, Chris?
I do not have it pre-ordered.
Oh.
So, there's that bit of like, I could get that voucher thing. I could get it. I could play this game that I don't think I'm going to like.
You know what you need? You need Breath of the Wild, but like three times bigger.
Right. No, I don't. Then I heard it's like if you mainline the game, I don't remember. I think it was Gene Park, and I didn't read his review, but I saw his tweet about it. And he was like, his mainline playthrough was 60 hours, and he doesn't even think he's like a third of the way through the game.
Oh God.
And I was like if the mainline quest takes 60 hours, I don't know. Like I could finish a lot of shitty games in between there. I could play Redfall four times.
Oh, Chris. Me and Earl are going to have a ball.
I hope you guys do. And that ball starts in about 80 minutes. So.
Yes.
But you're going to talk
oh,
about
Oh, yeah,
it
I
got to
call
week,
into work.
So we should discuss other stuff that happened this week. So.
Yes. What would you like to start with, Earl? Is there anything that like jumps out at you?
What did happen this week? I think there was news, but to Tony's point, I feel like so much of the week was focused on actual real-world stuff.
Yeah, there was a lot of cool news. I don't know about video game news.
Like, I mean, it was like everybody did their financials this week, but I don't think anything major came out of that. I mean, aside from Nintendo's not doing a Switch to the within the next year, which will be disappointing to people. And I think Sharp at some point teased that they're working with a company on a handheld. I think some people said that might be Sony. We'll see. But I'm sure there was news.
Nothing's really jumping out at me news-wise. I'm checking my normal places. I mean, there's that Diablo 4 server. It's the server slam is this weekend. That's like the demo again, which I don't think I'll be partaking in because I've already played the demo. And I know what Diablo 4 is now. The EU reportedly will approve Microsoft's Activision deal there. But also, I think there weren't rumors that the CMA was going to approve the deal as well, and then they shipped that one out. And
I just stopped following that.
Star Wars Survivor, or Jedi Survivor, evidently doing very well. Multi-millions of people have played it.
I can't imagine why. That it'll in the brand Star Wars.
Yep. Silksong was delayed.
Right. I mean, I don't think it's an actual game, but it sucks for those three people waiting for it. No, like that game has been announced forever ago, and I think it was announced on like one of those indie directs, and then it was like on the Xbox thing, and it don't matter because nobody's getting to play it. So,
let's see what else we got here. IGN does not have a lot of their news is now just entertainment related.
Yeah, that's the big problem with all of the game insights now. It's like all of their news is like this movie did this and. Like, it's not even about Mario anymore, because Guardians is out and doing well. So, like, it's all like, oh, Guardians of the Galaxy is doing X number on this. Because Mario's hit, what, 1.1 billion? So it's not even worth talking anymore.
Yeah, because I don't think it'll hit 2 billion, so...
No, like, the next one we'll hear about is probably, like, the final, which will be... like 1.3 in either direction, which is a really good number. It won't. I don't think it has enough gas to be the number one animated film domestically and the number one animated film worldwide. So that would have been a big talking point. But yeah, that's not happening. But again, for a first movie, did really well. And we talked about the Gran Turismo trailer already, right?
We did. We talked about that and how that's actually more interesting than it seemed when they announced it.
Yes, I mean, sad. I mean, just to read. I also think it right now it's more just in the Twisted Metal.
Yeah, I didn't love that trailer. I assume that you saw it, Earl. Did anybody else see the Twisted Metal trailer
or teaser?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I saw the poster.
There's not much to it. Like,
yes, like the important thing for you to know is that it stars Anthony Mackie. That is really the most important thing about that trailer.
I mean that's pretty, and they show the evil clown ice cream truck.
Yeah, Sweet Tooth.
Yes.
Which is also kind of weird. Not weird, but because he I guess this is news ish. Ed Boon and the Mortal Kombat account are teasing the release of the next Mortal Kombat game, which supposedly
September. Like a reboot. Which makes sense if you played 9, 10, and 11. The way 11 ends is basically it just blows up the entire timeline.
Yeah, so...
And 9 was a reboot of the first three games. fighting game continuity is stupid, so...
I mean, I'm happy to keep it. It's just because, like, yeah. It's like one of those things because, like, it's like everybody gets their own ending. But canonically, this one ending actually matters. And it's always so weird to see which one they... I mean, for Street Fighter, well, Mortal Kombat, it's mostly Yu Kang.
And I guess... Well, I guess, like, with starting with... I guess starting with Injustice and the way that they did their story mode there, like, it was all continuous. You didn't just pick you didn't pick one character and fight through 12 guys and get your story ending. Like, there was an actual story, and you fought with people based on, I guess, how your story was progressing. I actually like how Mortal Kombat and Injustice do their stories. It's neat.
And I'm called in sick. Ha ha!
Sorry. You sound a little ill.
Yeah, I am.
Oh, the other news of the week. What was it? The Game Freaks, the Pokemon company. Mm-hmm. Well, not the Pokemon company, but the company that makes Pokemon, because Pokemon is a different entity, announced a game that they're working on with, is it? Who is it?
Private Division.
Okay, for some reason, I thought it was, is that part of Take-Two? Or maybe I was just mistaken.
Yes, Private Division is, believe it is Take-Two's indie label.
Which is very funny to be like, the people who make Pokemon are an indie company, but sure. But yeah,
I saw you post. I didn't realize it was Game Freaks. What actually is
Well, we don't know what it is. It's Project Broom. It's just an action adventure IP from them, that they're publishing with this Take-Two in house. So it's just, I mean, again, Game Freak has done a few titles outside of the Pokemon Nintendo realm. I just feel like this seems like it might be the biggest one, because like, they did that Trombone the Elephant game, and mm-hmm. they did that RPG on the 3DS or something like that. But yeah, we'll see how this goes, because I mean, I know it is what it is. I don't blame the Switch for some of the issues with Pokemon, so.
Little Town Hero?
Oh, that's the one.
Yeah, and Tembo the Badass Elephant. Private Division is funds and publishes indie games for Take-Two, developed by small to mid-sized studios. I'm not sure how big Game Freak is.
It's a small studio, but like, I feel like it's one of those things where, like, based on size, yes, but based on reputation, as a company that has literally a 20 million sell in their back pocket every few years.
Yeah.
They're not what I would, and they are backed by probably the third biggest publisher in the industry. So
Obsidian has published through Private Division as well. That's actually where
that makes a bit more sense, because I mean, because they're self-published mom.
Yeah. They did out the Outer Worlds through them before they became an Xbox studio. So Starfield, there were some, I guess, some leaks out of the ratings board, or no, it was given an M for mature. I guess they broke down a little of why it was. Suggestive material in dialogue. Game contains some suggestive material in dialogue, and after sharing a bed with characters, of which they use these quotes, "Life is a sexually transmitted disease that's 100% fatal." I'm all for getting wild, but next time, let's try it without the jetpacks. So,
is this real? Like,
this is real from the ESRB summary. Yes.
Why would they? That's really weird. Anyway. Well, at least we know the game is real now. Yeah, there's like specific things that they're talking about.
Evidently, in such a form. And I don't know exactly how the ratings works. I assume that they give them like, I assume they don't play them.
Yeah.
They give them scenes of
games. They give them video footage of stuff. And because I think ages ago, that's what Rockstar got in trouble with the hot coffee thing in GTA. Because, like, again, a lot of these games are, one, they're not finished until they're finished. So, like, you tend to kind of send in samples of gameplays and stuff like that, and they base it off of that. Where movies are watched and then rated. But, yeah, games are submitted, because you submit them to each of these boards. Because it's the ESRB. Then there's the one in, I think Canada has a slightly different one. The UK has one. Japan has one. So you have, that's why sometimes these games also don't come out at the same time. So.
And I guess something that was getting a little bit of buzz was the fact that they also stated that Starfield would have in-game purchases. No clarification on what that means, like whether, you know, they're selling cosmetics in the game or links to, you know, future deal. Anything that has a link that would direct you to buy something gets, you know, notated that way. So could be a variety of different, but almost every game now has something where you're like, click this and buy something stupid. Buy a poncho for Cal and Star Wars or something. I don't know. IGN here has Ubisoft laid off 60 employees in a customer service department. That's not really what I wanted to talk about. I did catch that Microsoft made an announcement. They are not giving raises to any of their employees at all this year, citing the anticipation of economic downturn. So this company that is trying to buy another company for $70 billion can't
broke. Yeah.
can't give raises to their people this year because next year it might not be as good economically. That's shitty. That's a shitty vibe, I think. But not just them doing it, but it just feels gross when you see a company trying to buy somebody for $70 billion. That's it for news, I think. What have you guys been playing this week?
Don't all jump on this one.
It's not Zelda, Jeff. Sorry, no Zelda.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Zelda. I will just start. I continued Sanction 2 with my friend. And we beat the main campaign, and because of the bundle I bought, I guess it had to DLC. And tell me why I saw the DLC, and I'm like, this is a much more interesting game. There's like a ton of variety in enemies. There's actual boss encounters. I'm like, where was all of this in the actual game I just played? It wasn't a bad game by any means, but I'm like, the enemies were pretty much like goblins, and then there was a fire goblin. There's a big orc you fight several times. And this one, we've had like rams with dynamites on the back of their barrels. We've had mummies. We had a scorpion. You have to trick the scorpion into like stinging the wall so it gets stuck so you can go past it. And I'm like, why was none of this in the actual game? This is really fun. Like, there are actual like puzzles that work into the combat and ways to use your character in new ways and power ups. And I'm like, I wanted some of this in the actual game itself.
I'm sorry, Earl. What was the name?
This is a Trine.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Four. Is that three or four?
This is two. Yeah. So, I think a few weeks ago the bundle with 1, 2, 3, and 4 was like $12 on the eShop.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, it's an easy way to have like four co-op games like this summer. Yeah. And again, I played the first one and I enjoyed it. I mean, they're puzzle platformers, so emphasis really on the puzzle part. So I don't mind that, and there's been some careful puzzles, but the DLC opens up and I'm like, oh, it just does all this stuff where it has like a lot more interesting set pieces, enemies, and I'm just like, why couldn't you have worked some of this into the actual game? Because I feel like it would have made the core campaign much, much more interesting than it ended up being. Because the game just kind of ended. you fought this weird dragon that you just had to hit in the face several times.
But the DLC adds a bunch of stuff that makes it a better game.
It makes it more, like I said, more fun, more engaging. You get different types of elements to interact with. You get different types of enemies. You get puzzles around enemies that I think is really cool.
Were you playing it with just one other person, or were there three of you together?
Just one other person.
When you need the other, like, there's three characters, right? So when you need the other one, can somebody to switch to that one at will, or?
Well, okay, so there are settings in the game, and the one I use is just really, It's like you can switch to everybody. So like you don't, okay. It's not like you're like a character. So you can both, there's a magician, there's basically a magician warrior and like a rogue. And you could both be rogues, you could both be warriors, you could be a warrior and a rogue, you could be a magician and a warrior. And you could, yeah, so and there's times where like you want both or all three. So that's what I'm curious about. I kind of want to go through the game on my own at some point, just because some of the puzzles that we've come up with solutions for have been very much, you do this, hold it in place for me to go over here, and then you pull me up or something. And I'm like, how does this work?
You'd have to come up with a different solution, yeah. Right? Solo, because you're controlling all three characters. Yeah.
Yes, but like again, but they don't exist on screen at the same time, which is like,
right.
I don't know, like, can you freeze them in place to do something, or is it just, yeah, that's what I'm curious about.
I'm interested to hear that. I remember in the first one, I do think like there was a way to like stasis some things.
Okay.
So you could progress.
I mean, calling a spade a spade, that will not be my next project. But yeah,
that's fair. Anything else?
Same old Deep Rock Galactic, which I'm getting. I finally got my cryo gun. So I'm excited to try that out next time we play the game. And crap. There's a game I played, and this is probably not a great selling point for it, because like after the last week's podcast, I was like, oh, I'm just going to go to Game Pass and download a game. And I downloaded it, and now I don't remember what it was. I was having fun with it, but I don't remember what it was. So I apologize to that game.
It can sometimes be the curse of Game Pass that's like, it's not memorable enough that you're like, this is fun, but then you move on to something else and forget. I played a little bit of that Turtles game, Splintered Fate.
I'm still so jealous.
So I knew it was a roguelike in a way. It is just Hades with a turtle skin on it. Like they made Hades like straight up with the story bits when you come back to your lair. They've created a reason for if you die, how you get booted back to the turtle's lair. There's like an overall story as to why like enemies reappear, and it's all because like the multiverse has clashed and you're moving in and out of reality. It plays real well. And similar to Hades, like you'll gain currency that sticks with you and you can use to buy permanent upgrades. And then as you play the game, as you clear like an area, you'll get temporary upgrades, like plus 50% damage for the next four rooms, or you'll get a special maneuver that you can power up as you move. And so it really is just a straight Hades ripoff, but I think it's done very well.
Yeah. And I don't know if you've done this or not. I saw that it's co-op.
I did not know it was co-op. That makes sense. I mean, a Turtles game not being co-op would be weird.
I mean, that happened. Ask Platinum.
Fair enough.
I'm still not sure that this is. And I mean, the big rumor is like the next Ninja Turtles game is like a AAA solo adventure game.
Right, but what you explained about that is that it's specifically about one turtle.
Yeah.
Like that makes more sense as a single player game than we're gonna have four turtles here, of which you can play all four, but we're not gonna have any sort of multiplayer aspect. I did not know there was multiplayer. I think right. Walt was playing it, but we did not link up.
I don't know if it's like local only or online. But yeah, because not me watching YouTube videos of it, because it's not on Android.
I played on my phone. I think Walt played on his MacBook. But I have a Backbone, so it's my phone just plugs into the controller, and I played that way. I don't know how the touch works with it. It feels like it's a game that needs buttons.
Yeah, I mean, you said it's like Hades, and Hades is a very control-oriented game.
It's not about movement. It's movement, so like you want to be able to move and dodge, and then each of the buttons has like powers associated with them. So each of your face buttons, you press Y, you know, it's a certain type of attack. You press X, it's a certain type of dash. A is a different type of attack, and B might be like, you know, a special move or something. So yeah, I don't know how that translates to touch or if it would play well that way. Like, it's weird that Apple picked this up. It honestly feels like it should be something that's on PC and consoles.
Yeah, I assume it was probably a brand. Like, I'm hoping, like, I know Apple Arcade games sometimes make it to consoles, and I said it, and then there was a few I was interested in that I paid at PAX, and I completely forgot about them during the pandemic. So, yeah.
And I'm still sitting here waiting for the Miss Walker game, Fantasian, to move to, like, Switch or anywhere that's not just Apple Arcade. Because playing a 40-hour Final Fantasy type RPG on your phone isn't it's not the best experience. So.
Not what you want? Come on.
No. I like, and I think that's Splintered Fate is fine in the fact that it's a run-based game. So like you do a run, you're done. Like you can hop off. But like a more beefy RPG, like it's not something you pick up and just put down. Like you're gonna play it for a little bit longer. The thing with Hades or Splintered Fate is that, like, those runs can get addictive, but they're never like super long. So, you know, oh, I'm done. I like my train arrived. I can stop playing now. As opposed to like with, you know, dude, those Final Fantasy type games, you need to get to a save point before you can save. Like, you can't just shut that game down. So. I also, I continued to play Redfall, and, I played all of Redfall.
Why did you do this?
I'm done with Redfall. Ended up liking Redfall.
But you have good games.
I do, but I kind of enjoyed just the mindless hunting of vampires and moving from a point on a map to another point on a map. Not having to think too much, and it was like, this is what I needed this week. I think the fives and sixes are valid. I do. I mean, it is buggy at times. I did not get some of the crazy bugs. Like, I never experienced anything that like Tony and Walt saw when we were playing together, where my character was just like morphing in and out of geometry, and I did not experience any of that. I did get some bugs where I got some crashes. I got a weird bug where like my controller basically had a stroke and stopped working on one side. Like, I would press the buttons and you would hear the click on the screen, but they didn't do anything until I like shut the game down and came back into it. I had another one where I could not stop crouching, which makes it difficult to run away from vampires.
Sounds so fun.
But it wasn't constant, right? Like, yeah, I played 20 hours of that game and maybe five instances of that. And I've had Jedi Survivor crash on me twice, and I played 4 hours of that. So, rough, like, I mean, percentage wise, they're about the same, even though Jedi Survivor is a much more polished game and better game.
I was gonna say, it was really funny because I was listening to Digital Foundry about Zelda, and like, it's so rare now for a game to come out and it just like work, and like, it's so sad how much we feel with the part now. Like, the game does not crash on you. 10 out of 10.
Yeah. Tony, do you know anything of the story in Redfall? Oh, you played it with me. We played for an hour.
That is all I played, yes.
Yeah. But, like, in that hour, what do you think the story was?
There was something about you being kept alive for some reason by the what I think the main villain was.
Okay. So, yes, not you. So that all those narrative cutscenes are done by another character that you don't meet until the very end of the game, like after you beat the final boss. The entire story is being narrated by somebody that you don't actually interact with until the last scene of the game.
Oh, great.
But it is all kind of telling her story in the background of basically these like evil medical people that were experimenting. They found out that she has like magic blood. Right. By magic blood, she turns people into vampires. But they found out that like her blood has healing properties. And so they had set up this company and were basically like keeping her alive in a coma to farm her blood. Like, there's a cool story underneath all this. It is just given to the player in the absolute worst possible way. And there's these cutscenes. The game has a few of them, but they are all told in this weird, like, it's not like still images, but it might as well be like slightly animated.
Yeah.
Storybook. Like, very weird decisions there. They could have fully animated some of this stuff, and I think it would have looked like a higher quality production. When we were playing, Tony, there was only one type of vampire. Actually, I think we killed the vampire in the basement, and then I don't remember seeing another vampire the entire time we played. But you and Walt were running ahead of me.
Right.
So maybe you guys killed some vampires up there that I just didn't see as I was wandering. There are multiple types of vampires. There is, and I said this last week, there's this thing called the siphon, and it I didn't understand exactly what it was. Basically, if it sees you, if it is within its line of sight, it can suck the blood right out of your skin. In this awfully animated, like, where blood is just kind of pulling off of your character and in a tube type thing. But if you break line of sight, you also break his power. So you're kind of like leaning around corners trying to take him out. There's a thing called the Rook, which is basically like a juggernaut, where he just like chases after you and slams the ground. He also brings with him like a lightning storm. There's a shroud, which puts everything in darkness, and you're fighting in this like small cone of light, but you kind of have to move towards where the attack's coming from to reveal where she is. There's another one called a blood bag, which they're not really dangerous except they explode, so you got to keep your distance from them. There are multiple types of enemies that they don't give you any of this in the first 2 hours of the game. And by then, you may be done with it, like you and Walt were. Like, yeah. There's nothing fun here. Why am I going to keep playing? It is like Borderlands or Far Cry or Dead Island, where it's like, here's your mission. You go do your mission. You pick up some loot there. That loot gets there's, you know, a variety of different weapons you can get. And I think we had at the time only had like a shotgun and a handgun. There are other weapons. There's like a UV cannon that shoots like a big beam of UV light that's neat to play with. And it only works on vampires, but it freezes them, and then you can go up and punch them or turns them to stone and you can punch them. So there's like some cool stuff in there. It's just all put in such a way that is very hard, unless you like put the time in to experience, and you may not because the game is buggy or dull at the start. You may not put the time into playing it. I think there's something cool there. It's just really poorly put together. And it's a little bit of a shame because I do think that, like, the aesthetics of the New England town and, you know, these creepy, like, vampires chasing you around and talking, like, weirdly creepy to you it's a cool vibe, but I don't know. I could see why you guys were like, we're done. We don't want to play this anymore. But I enjoyed the like 18 hours I ended up putting into the game. So what a weird title though. Just coming out of Bethesda. And we did talk a little bit about like the weird failing of it, and Phil Spencer got out there last week and was kind of like apologizing for its existence almost.
Which he probably should.
Yes, and also, so it seems that Bethesda is like, they report to Phil Spencer, but not directly. It's like an indirect report. Bethesda operates by itself. So they are Xbox, but also Bethesda is Bethesda, and they do what they want. So some of the reports that were coming out, like, where, oh, why doesn't Phil know all this? Like, cause they're not directly reporting to him on that. He has people that run Bethesda who maybe those people should be fired, but, they were not like, it's not a direct, like, he was not getting daily updates on the development of Redfall.
No, and that's, and I mean, to be fair, I don't think that's what presidents of companies do.
Right. But he's not even getting like there's a president of Bethesda that is getting that. And that person reports to Phil Spencer, but like, there's like Arcane is like down the ladder even more than, you know, somebody at president of my company wouldn't know what, you know, maybe that one of their departments is doing. It is very, very weird in the way that he came out defending it or defending the stance of it. But also their corporate structure is very weird with Bethesda. And I swear by playing that game that Xbox Game Studios does not show up in the splash screen. It Bethesda shows up, but I don't think XGS shows up, which is weird.
That is incredibly strange.
So, and but also that does make a little bit of sense in that for the last few years, it has been the Xbox and Bethesda showcase, where they specifically notate that it is also Bethesda as part of it, or Bethesda has their own show. So they're like two weird entities. I think Phil needs to get a bit better handle on that though. Starfield cannot come out like this.
I think it's okay to have a middling game here and there if you have other games.
Despite what Chris has said, the game is not middling.
I think it sounds to me like I would have an okay time. I just got good games to play, so I'm playing the good games.
You should spend your hour before Zelda comes out playing this and let me know which is better, this or Zelda.
Well, that could be a tough one. I don't know. We'll see. I'll let you know.
I mean, I don't recommend playing it over Zelda or Star Wars. But if you're looking for like a, you know, just like a run around town shoot shit, I think that the encounters can be fun, and it's weird when you shoot humans, there doesn't feel like there's any weight, but when you shoot a vampire in the face with a shotgun and it recoils backwards, that feels real good. You know, it would be nice if it always worked where you try to stake them. You have to have that press R right stick in there. And if you don't hit that properly, it doesn't always work. But also, I've played games from studios where it is also buggy as shit. I don't know how Arkane fixes this, because if you don't like the basic formula of it, which seems to be what some people struggle with, and maybe it's just that format of, you know, the Borderlands, Dead Island. Dead Island did not get a resounding review. So like it got sevens, but it also doesn't seem like it is as buggy as Redfall. Maybe this style of game is just not valid anymore currently.
I mean, I think even back in the day, Dead Island was just like, this is okay, you know? It's fun, but it's nothing like...
Right, like it is like, I'm gonna go pick up my mission and go kill some zombies.
Yeah.
But I kind of felt that when, like, Borderlands 3, which is a way more polished game.
Yeah.
I kind of felt that when you know, I played with Tony and Earl and Walt as well. Like, I don't know. You need a hook. The hook for me was the vampires. Like, this is cool. Yeah. I like this. Yeah. And, like, the shit that's in there is kind of neat. But yeah, if you don't enjoy playing it, like you know, Tony didn't, then don't do that. Don't spend time playing a game you don't like. I ended up, and I think even when we were playing, Tony, I was a little more like, this isn't that bad. It's not awful. Like I was way more positive on it when we were playing it than you and Walt were. And that's, you know, that's why I continued to play it. And then I was like, okay, there's something here. I want to see where this goes, and it goes to another map. That's where it goes. But there's some neat ideas in there, I think. That's it for me. Tony, what have you been playing? I hear you have some stuff for Jeff.
I do, because I've been playing a wonderful 4X strategy game called Age of Wonders. Age of Wonders 4. I played Age of Wonders 3 back in the day. I think it's been like a decade since that game came out. I barely remember it. But the premise of the game is that there are all these civilizations in the world, and each one is headed by this like wizard of some kind. Be they a battle mage, somebody who uses magic to make themselves really strong in combat or whatever. But you get to start off by creating your own race based around your mage. So I in my current playthrough, I decided to make a race of cat people.
And, okay.
Like mystical cat people who like... absorb the magic from the world around them and use it to, you know, heighten their knowledge and whatever. So, you know, magic cat people. So I start up the game. I'm like, this is a really cool idea. Nobody's ever done this before. And then I meet the first race that's right next to me, and it's a race of fucking magical cat people.
Way to go, Tony.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really great. It's really great. But it's kind of a cool premise. So you start off, you have your mage, you build armies and you explore and whatever like you normally do in a 4X game. But it's all sort of an RPG based around your wizard king person. And you could take that person into like mines and search like long lost tombs, and they're like quests that they need to fulfill. And they get, like, you can find items and equip them with items to improve them in various ways. So it's kind of like a combination of, like, an RPG and, like, a 4X game.
And how does that aspect play?
Like, so,
you taking the king into the mine.
So it normally ends up you'll have, like... a bunch of choices, and it'll result in like a battle. And so you end up fighting a battle within the 4X part of the game. Okay. But it's not like a normal battle. Like, there are epic battles in the game, and you can have like armies reinforced by adjacent armies. If you go into like a quest battle, you can only bring your personal army with you, and then you're stuck under the constraints of whatever it happens to be, like your men are afraid of the zombies in the tomb or whatever it happens to be. But the rewards from those quest battles are normally pretty cool items, or the corpses of long dead heroes that you can reanimate and make a hero of your own. There's a whole thing behind that, but
got it.
It's a pretty, I don't want to say basic, but it's very traditional 4X gameplay. One of the more cool things about it is there's an overworld and an underworld. So like one of the other races in the world that I'm playing in is a race of mole men. And they have their cities underground, and then they like can there are points on the map where you can like appear above ground. So you end up having like two levels of cities, so you can have cities above one another. I ended up in a case where I founded a city over top of a race that I was at war with, and so we were like sending armies back and forth to fight above ground and below ground. It was kind of cool. The battles are kind of, it switches to this like tactical map, kind of like Final Fantasy Tactics or one of those games.
Mm-hmm.
Where all the units have abilities and you move them around. One of the more interesting things is that since your race is led by this wizard dude, you can cast huge spells. So, like, he can cast spells that affect a battle all the way on the other side of the world. So, like, once a turn, you'll get a chance to, like, cast a spell from wherever he happens to be. So, like, the battle will be raging on, then just this fireball just drops from above and kills all these guys. You could also cast spells that, like, affect all of the units in your empire and like give them special abilities, like the ability to do more damage if a spell is cast in combat and that kind of stuff. So there's a whole lot of like interacting systems. So it gets kind of complicated after a while, but it's fun. I'm enjoying it. My cat people are going to take over the world, and then we'll see what happens.
Right, can't wait for your weird cat people that have a mirror race.
I am allied with this other race of cat people, but I've been much more successful. So at some point, I'm going to, you know, absorb them, vassalize them, decide that, you know, my magical cat people are better than your magical cat people, and they should be worshiping me. So that will happen at some point.
Anything else? Any other strategy games for Jeff?
No, mostly just cat people.
Okay. Jeff. What have you been playing this week? I assume some Star Wars.
Yeah, mostly just Jedi Survivor. You know, we've talked about the game. There's not too much to add or say to that, and some of this may be slightly repetitive. But anyways, I took your advice, Chris, and I turned on quality mode.
Yep.
Or more accurately, turned off performance mode. It's just that's all it is a switch to toggle on or off performance mode.
You have one or the other on. Yeah.
So I turned off performance mode, you know, boy, oh man, that was, dude, the game looks so much better when you turn off performance mode, and it runs fine. Yeah, it runs fine.
It doesn't play any, like, it's not significantly worse. Like, oh wow, it's not responsive. No, it feels responsive. It looks great.
I can't tell. And, you know, for all the talk of all the technical problems in the game, I haven't had anything since the first night when it crashed on me in the first 5 minutes. Other than that, the game's run totally fine for me. It hasn't crashed again. Like, as far as I could tell, turning off performance mode, like, I haven't noticed any hiccups, and it looks incredible. Wow, this is a really cool-looking game.
Yes.
And I guess just the other thing, and I'm like, I think we kind of like touched on this anyways, but like, man, the game could be confusing.
Yes.
So what these games are you play through levels, and you do so by, you know, you're going from point A to point B in a level, and you do it through, you know, combat, of course, but like just platforming and puzzle solving is a huge, that's what the game is, right? You're trying to get from point A to point B using platforming and puzzle solving. And boy, can it be confusing to figure out how to get to point B sometimes. You're just like, because even though they are linear levels, like the map is like kind of large enough to be like, I know I gotta go this way, but I just can't figure out how to get there. You know, sometimes it's like you gotta go through like a tiny little crack in a wall that you didn't even see, like walk past it six times, and you're like, oh yeah, I gotta go through this. There's like a little crevice you gotta crawl through.
Or in the case of like, you know, we were talking about it last week where you have these like little like roller mines that'll chase you.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And there's like a puzzle involving like it's how you actually advance. But I thought that I needed to go a different way. And I think we talked about this last week where I ended up on top of this cliff, and that's not where you needed to be. Like it's a neat area like that's there, and there's like an item up there as well. But it's not like these maps are so big and there can be these branching paths that aren't part of the main course.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's like, where am I at and what is going on? And I don't, and like you miss that little crack and you're stuck in like an underground cavern. Like I can't reach the ledge I need to get to here. And it's probably because I don't have what I need to get to. Because I'm not supposed to be there yet. I'm supposed to be in this other spot that I haven't found.
Yeah. So another good example. So first of all, like this level, there's levels I really love in this game. The Shattered Moon is an awesome fucking level. But I'm on a level now. I think the planet is called Jeddah or something. And the level is called Reach Pilgrim Sanctuary. And dude, the whole level, I'm just like, what? Huh? There was a part I like dead ended into this room, like this little crypt, and I'm like, okay. And then after being in there a while, I noticed only by looking at the map, because it shows on the map, it shows a section of wall and it says puzzle. I'm like, okay. I go and the idea how to solve the puzzle, it's like there's like a bunch of tiles, and then I guess you're supposed to pull out the right combination of tiles in order to make the wall open. Wander around the map, discover the symbol in the environment that is the solution to the puzzle, go back, solve the puzzle, and it opens a door to another dead end. And I'm just like, what the fuck was the point of this? It's not even the way I had to go, man. I was literally just missing a turn somewhere. Like, there's a turn, and then we would continue up this fucking mountain. And then, like, I just did not see the turn. Like, I ran past it a million times. I'm just like, what the fuck? And then the whole level is just ultra, ultra confusing like that. So, that's the fun and frustration of that game. I don't really know what else, I don't think I have much more to say, but I think I'm pretty far in it now. I think it's a little hard to tell because you could do some missions out of order. So, like, depending on...
Yeah, evidently, if you sequence break it too much, it'll warn you.
Well, no, this isn't...
Not to do that.
It's not... That's not the case. It's like... Hey, you have two missions available. You could go to this planet and do this one, or this planet and do that one, right? So, like, if you're looking at a guide, I could be further than one guy might tell you, oh, go do this mission first. You get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
But I want to say I'm pretty far. Like, I'm at least halfway, if not two-thirds through the game. I don't think it's as long as reviews say it is. Like...
From how long to beat it, it's a little bit longer than the first one.
Yeah, and so that's I wanted to mention that because like a lot of the reviews are like, this is 30 hours long, and I'm like, I don't think so, dude. And yeah, if you look at how long to beat, it's like the first one, the average time is like 17 hours, and this one's like 18 and a half. It's like it's not a huge.
Yeah,
like,
if you do more of the side path stuff, yeah, it probably is longer, but
yeah.
That's just because, like, there's a lot more side path stuff to do.
I guess, but there, one thing is, like, you know, some reviews mentioned this, that there's like shrines, and it's like I've found maybe two of those throughout the entire game.
So like I stumbled, like I am still relatively early in the game, and I stumbled upon one trying to find, like, just I'm still just trying to get to this dumb gate, and I found a bunch of shit that I don't need to be at. Like, currently I'm stuck in a shrine. Like,
so I did find one of the ones I found was early on, and I would not be surprised if we're talking about the same one. But I think I've seen like one other the whole rest of the game. Like, they might be out there, and again, that's not to say that there's not a million little stupid paths you could go down where at the end you get a lightsaber color or something, like
a beard.
Yeah, and you know, that I wouldn't consider, like, these shrines are like little puzzle levels.
Yeah, no, like those little paths. So there are paths that just like take you. They take you to a treasure chest or
stuff. I guess, you know, you could customize your look, like, you know, as you get deeper in the game.
I don't have any need to like add a beard to Cal or wear pink suit.
I did add a beard. I mean, I guess as you get deeper in the game, it's like you have the option to like make your look pretty different, but there's no actual value to any of this. So it's like,
does it at least show up in the cutscenes, Jeff? Like, if you, okay. So like, at least it's that, right?
So, yeah.
It's not like, oh, I added this beard to my character model. But when the cutscene comes up, it's just clean shaven, you know, ginger.
No, I don't think so. I like to think I do kind of tune out of the cutscenes now, but I think it does show the beard. You know, but that said, I don't think I've customized my guy in like a long, long time. I've gotten plenty more outfits, and I'm just like, whatever, dude. His outfit looks fine to me. Like,
And it's like, it's so weird because it's like, oh, I went all the way up here, I fought this giant monster, and I got like eyeglasses for BD1.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I needed that. I definitely like the chest are so useless.
Yeah, that's just like, if it gave you, I like stats being tied to stuff, so.
Right, like if you give me those glasses for BD1 and it like gave him some sort of boost.
It's a little boost even, then I feel like, oh, that was worth it, you know, but no. But I mean, the game's fun.
Yeah.
Fun, it's really, it's the things I like about it are, you know, the puzzles and the platforming, and I do feel like I've gotten better at the combat, although I would say that there's not a ton of bosses and not all of them are super hard. I did hear that the last couple are like garbage, like super just annoying and hard, but for the most part the combat was just fun on normal.
That was a problem with the first one too. It's like,
yeah,
you know, you would get a little bit better at the game with the combat, and then the last two bosses or so were like just pains in the asses. They had dumb attacks that were outside of how the rest of the game has been played.
But you know, the last one I recall turning down the difficulty pretty early on, and then it was never a problem. Like I just blow through shit after that. But this one, I'm still on normal. I'm like 2/3 of the way through the game, and I haven't found anything to be. There's been like two bosses where I've had to like, all right, it took a few tries. Nothing outrageous. But yeah, I know it's coming. So, and you know, if it comes to that, I'll probably bang my head against the wall for a little bit, and then finally just go fuck this, put it on easy, just beat the final boss.
Fair enough. Glad you're enjoying that. And since I've now finished Redfall, that'll be what I play.
Just remember in your head, Chris, reach Pilgrim Sanctuary. I want you to, like, when you see those words, just like dread. Oh God, how am I gonna get through this fucking level? There's like wind blowing and shit, and so like you're trying to platform, and it just, you try to make a jump, you go flying off to fucking your death, and just enjoy that level. I can't wait to hear your reaction to it, because I found it very confusing.
You said that you're on Jedha, and I don't know if you remember, that is where Jin and Cassian go in Rogue One.
He said that like he'd never heard of it before, and my brain just kind of went like,
Yeah. Dude, I'm not a Star Wars encyclopedia. I like it. I've seen all the movies, but like I can't keep
it's
all
where
the
it's where they go meet Forrest Whitaker, and then the planet like cracks apart because they test the Death Star on it.
I remember his name. I remember his significance.
Yeah, and he's a character.
Oh, yeah, don't they blow up that planet?
Yeah. They don't blow up the planet, they blow up the city. Like they do the test.
And
they test it on the city and blow it up. So it gives that like cool, like they're on the ship.
As this would be one of these games take place. They're like around that time, right? Or
before,
like a little before, right? Like, but still in the gap between the movies.
Yeah, it's between the fall of the Republic, where you know, Darth
Vader, episode three and episode four.
Yeah.
Okay. And Rogue One, I guess.
I think there is an actual timeline somewhere. This takes place before the Obi-Wan TV show.
Okay.
So, like, Leia and Luke are, like, what,
eight or nine
at this point?
I thought that's where we were, but again, like, I did not find the story in this so far, or I did not find it interesting enough early on, so now I'm just like, I'm just going where they tell me to go and doing what they tell me to do. I don't really care what's going on.
I think I'll be into it more as it progresses, as like they're bringing in stuff that like you don't pay attention to the books or the comics or anything, and they're bringing in stuff from the High Republic, which is a book series. So that'll be interesting to me. But yeah, I could definitely see where you're like, I don't care. It's like Star Wars. I'm killing stormtroopers.
Yeah, it doesn't. I'm here for the gameplay, so
enjoy.
What
I play next. So.
We'll see if you'll probably laugh me on it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're gonna be a little busy with something.
Yeah. Else, so.
Let's see. I mean, we didn't talk about it, but you guys are all you made us. We talked about dumb Zelda for like 15 minutes when we started this show.
Wow.
Golem's out next week.
Yeah, it is.
I thought we didn't need to talk about that. We all just knew from like.
You're right. It is. Like, I mean, it is just so.
I mean, it's all encompassing. I mean, like, there are games, there are quote unquote legends, but there's only one Golem.
True.
I may be premature. I mean, first off, ballot Hall of Famer. When it's eligible, it's going right in.
Yeah, I mean, we might need to just skip it. Like, it just might need to get a special dispensation. Also, Walt created us a countdown for it. His countdown's wrong. It says it's out in a week. It's out in 2 weeks. It's out.
Let's do a review average prediction.
I think it's going to be unfairly maligned, and it's going to score high 60s, low 70s.
It's going to be like that one Zelda review, except across all the reviewers.
All the reviews. They're all going to be. We wish we were playing something else that wasn't this game. And they just don't understand the amazingness that is Golem.
Okay, instead of that, over or under Redfall?
Over. Well, what was that? What was the average for Redfall?
That's what I'm looking at now.
Open Critic, I think, was 59. Are you looking at Metacritic?
56 on Metacritic.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, so.
I think over.
That's going to be over.
I think, well, here's what I was initially going to say, because Chris said, like, you know, high 60s, low 70s. I was going to make the bold prediction that it goes below high 60s. Will it go below 60? I'm going to be bold and say it will.
Okay.
I think the game's going to be hot garbage.
Garbage. Golem of the year.
How can you mock Golem like this? I don't understand.
I'm not mocking. I mean, I feel bad for him.
Feel bad for who?
But
Smeagol. Yeah. He feels bad for Smeagol.
So am I the only one saying it's going to fall below Redfall?
No. Well, yes. Yes, you are, actually.
Where do you think, Tony? Like about you don't think it's going to fall under 55?
No. No, it'll be over 55.
I think it will be... this has not been... Like, this has already been really great games or really... Okay, Minecraft Legends, 71, above or beneath that. And I did not realize that game was out. Is it on Game Pass?
It is on Game Pass. That game came like a wet fart. Actually, not even like a silent fart, because you didn't even hear it.
It's going to be below that.
Okay, so... I am holding out hope. I think it'll be below Minecraft Legends. Is that what it's called, Minecraft Legends?
Yeah.
It'll be below that, but higher than Redfall.
Okay. I'm also very curious about Minecraft Legends. Is that co-op?
It is. I believe 3-player.
Oh, that's so weird.
Three player. There's a story, like a campaign to it. And you can play that with other people.
Okay. Golem or Minecraft?
Minecraft. No. Golem is a single player stealth game, I think. I don't know. I didn't watch that in a gameplay trailer. So
I was skipping through it, and I'm like, when do you get to the interesting part? And it just never came, so I turned it off. Because it's like Uncharted without the combat, where you're just like traversing areas, and I was so confused. Like, I thought Golem's whole thing was like hiding out from people, not climbing the sides of like vistas and castles. But who knows?
This does have some amazing achievements. There's one called Wait, Not Yet, and that is if you fall into lava. There's one for just falling a really long way. There is one for falling from a tower. there's like lots of like ways to kill Gaul seem to be like a lot of the trophies for this game, which honestly I'm kind of into.
Now, if the whole game was like that, like, oh crap, what is that? I mean, Mario, Sphinx and the Cursed Mummy, right? Part of the actual puzzles was like, how do you injure this person in order to complete the puzzle because they're immortal? So, like, set them on fire so that they can burn cobwebs and stuff like that. Like, that would be awesome, but I don't think that's what this game is. Because Gollum isn't invincible, he can die.
I mean, can he though? Because
he does
die at the end, but like, I assume this takes place before then, because otherwise he'd be dead. So like, he can't really die. So I mean, he can't die and then come back. Like, he's not a zombie, so. But they can't kill him here. He has to live through this game.
I'm looking at this developer's other games, and I don't know if I've heard of any of them.
Who was it? Didalic Entertainment?
Yeah, if that's how you say it. I don't know.
They make adventure games.
Well, maybe that's why I don't play a ton.
I mean, they're the ones I know most from them are the Deponia games, which are point and click. This is not point and click, so
they're spreading their wings.
They're not a bad developer, though. They're not bad. Like, the Deponia games are actually pretty good. This is a very different game from what I played from them before, though. So,
all right,
I'm holding out hope. Golem of the year, better than Redfall, maybe not as good as Minecraft for me. and then we're approaching Zelda time, but there was a piece of news, and I don't know if it came yesterday. It wasn't really news, but a GQ released the 100 best video games ranked by the experts.
Some real S tier stuff on that list, Chris.
Yeah, this list I have no. The number one game of all time was evidently Breath of the Wild, according to these people.
That's dear.
I don't know. I think you would get an idea, but But these people in this scenario are game journalists. I believe it's like a bunch
game,
of
game journalists, influencers. Like Ninja is he gave his influence here. Developers. It is a group of. It's not just game journalists. It is a group of people from across the games industry.
Yes, and tweeted about it yesterday, and I do agree. I feel like a lot of times these things tend to focus more on like the big narrative-driven games, and there tends to be a recency bias.
Very much recency bias.
Isn't Tetris in like the top five?
Tetris is number three, but you have The Last of Us, Breath of the Wild, Bloodborne, Witcher 3, Mass Effect 2 are all in the top 10. Like, these are all games that were within like the last like 10, 15 years.
I don't know. It makes sense to me.
Does it? Are you saying that there's no game that's not a the Tetris is the only game from before 2000 that deserves to be in a top 100, top 10 list?
Well, only 10 games could be in the top 10 there.
Yes, and I'm saying that. I do think there's a much older games that deserve much higher positions on that. When, because again, there are a lot of games that create the foundation. And I don't, I'm not going to be sitting like, but there's a lot of games that I think even going beyond like, I think the thing they said is like games that older games that are not necessarily narrative driven, games released before 1990, and games and old games that are not Nintendo. And I think that's true because a lot of old games that are tend to be on this. I mean, I've not seen the full list. I would imagine there probably like Mario World, Mario 3, Super Metroid, Into the Past. Hey, these are games you tend to see on all of these lists, and I'm not saying these are phenomenal games, but I feel like there's a whole, like, I think we talked about it the other week when, like, a video game museum in Rochester announced they were doing, like, they were inducting a bunch of games, and people were like, why is this Barbie game on here? And, like, Barbie represents a whole different aspect of the industry that kind of gets forgotten to time because it's not necessarily what we want to promote as, like, the face of the industry. And I think there's games that kind of fall in that, not necessarily in the camp of Barbie, but there are a lot of great games on the Nintendo, the Genesis, the Super Nintendo. I mean, there's games on the 3DO and Jaguar that I'm sure did well. And there's a ton of arcade games that I also feel get ignored in these scenarios as well.
Yeah, I'm like scrolling through the bottom 50 right now, and there are two games prior to 1990.
I mean, I'm fine with it. I think it makes sense to me. Like,
so you would not be weirded out if somebody did a top 100 movies list, and almost all the movies were from like 1990 and beyond.
Yeah, I think the case there is a little different though, because, you know, video games keep getting better, in my opinion, and it's like movies. I would not agree that's the case. I don't know.
Okay, then the opposite question. Would it not be weird if a top 100 movie is all movies before 1990?
Wait,
so three games on this top 100 list came from 1990 or before.
The whole top 100?
Out of the top 100. There's only, like, there Super Mario Brothers, Tetris, and was 1990 or something from 1990 that I'm now missing, but so that's it. Those are the three games from
before. Mario, Tetris, and what?
Trying to find it again.
I don't know
how much. Secret of Monkey Island. That's it.
Ew. I don't know how much more. I don't know. I would probably throw in like what Pac-Man and the original Zelda, like. Not that much else from back then that I'm like, yeah, this is the one of the, you know, best games of all time. Maybe Donkey Kong.
But right there, you've already named like five.
It also shows maybe we're a little bit older than a lot of the people that are working on this list.
Well, yeah. But also like absolutely zero sports games, like no NBA Jam, no NFL Blitz, no like.
Yeah, my list would have some.
Right, and it's like weird that like that there's nothing here from that. It's just
no Tony Hawk,
no Tony, no sports games.
Bogus. All right, fuck that list. I'm on your side.
I think it's weird to be like, you know, and look, maybe it'll play itself out, but like Elden Ring came out a year ago, and you're saying it's the 20 best game ever.
I'm saying it's ranked too low on that list.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
like, I mean, for an all-time list.
Yes, yes.
Like, it's
yes.
very weird that like this game that came out last year is the
it's
one of the 20 best. Like, normally it takes some time for the legacy to build it up to that. I'm not saying that it won't be at some point, but like that game came out last year.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I played it enough to say. No, I know you need time to see how it looks in history, but I'm pretty confident on that one. I'm not too worried about it. But
I think, and not to toot our own horns, it's like one of the reasons I got Hall of Fame is that there is like, I mean, what is it, like 15 years? So there is time to like cement this as like an all-timer. Because again, I do think there's a lot of times it's like, oh man, this game's so amazing, and then like you go back, and I mean, I'm sure we could go to the PS4 and the PlayStation 3 and 360 generation where people are talking about these games that like were all timers that are just kind of forgotten. Like, I think, I mean, one of the ones I saw recently is a lot of people have turned on the BioShock franchise. I think that was on this list, and a lot of people are like, BioShock doesn't deserve to be on here. When I remembered Mass Effect, I think is also one of those franchises where I feel like what time people, not necessarily that Mass Effect's bad, but I feel like people have soured on it like being the greatest game of all time or something like that. Mostly 2 and 3.
Yeah, the legacy shifts as time goes on.
Yeah, and I think that's what Chris is saying. Is like,
oh, I agree, and you know, who knows for sure. I would put money on Elden Ring staying very high.
I mean, there's a chance Golem ends up there.
Yeah.
The only reason I said the only reason I wouldn't is because I feel like Breath of the Wild, for example, number one game of all time, quote unquote. Like, who's to say like, Tears of the Kingdom comes out? Like, I've already seen reviews saying like, oh, Tears of the Kingdom makes Breath of the Wild feel like it was Nintendo trying. Like, it was like Nintendo's beta. And yeah. How does that? Like, so what happens with the next Elden Ring? What happens with the next major From Software game where it's like, oh, Elden Ring was good, but it was like, it was nothing in comparison to what they did next.
I don't know. I don't know how they top it, though, honestly, but we'll see.
And small correction there. There was another game from 1990 on there. Super Mario World was in at 14.
But again, kind of to my point, like, how many of those are non-Nintendo games?
Right. And it was the best.
And again, I love Nintendo. I think they're a fantastic company. But they were also not the only people making video games before 1990.
We're going to put Sega's bullshit fucking platformer from the fucking Master System. What was that game?
But, I mean, you could still put stuff like, I mean, Pitfall, like you said, Pac-Man's up there.
Jungle Hunt.
Why is there no Jungle Hunt?
I mean, going back to basic, Pong still holds up remarkably well. Asteroids, Centipede.
Sure. Top 100 though. I don't know.
Maybe possibly.
And like, yeah, the, for a list that is like 100 deep, like there is like 7 Mario games, 4 Zelda games. Like and that, not saying that they don't deserve recognition, but also like, is your palette only Nintendo games? Like, do you play other things? Because the way people voted was, I believe they gave a top 10.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, then.
And I think
that makes even more sense. Am I going to make room for fucking Asteroids in my top 10? No, I'm not. You know?
What is your top 10, Jeff?
I don't know. Not ancient fucking games that I'm never going to play. You know? Breath of the Wild, number one. Boom. No, actually, Elden Ring. Then Breath of the Wild.
Well, it's not even my
then Tears of the Kingdom.
Breath of the Wild is not even my number one Zelda game, but.
GQ is a terribly hoggy site. It keeps crashing on me as I try to search.
Well, they put it all on one page too.
Yeah, like, which I do like that, but it's
trouble loading it in or something. Yeah, like
it's chugging, and it shouldn't be.
And like you'll be like, I'm down at 20, and then it, like it bounces you back up to 50. Yeah, at least that's what it was doing on my phone, which is where I looked at it.
Yeah, I was. Why? Well, yeah, that when I looked at it earlier when I first saw it from Gene Park, kind of stating what his top 10 was. I tried to do it from there, and it kept bouncing me up. I'm like, I can't read it here. And now I'm trying to do it on my computer, and it just keeps freezing as I search.
I have it on my phone. It seems to be doing well. The Outer Worlds is 30. Outer Wilds. I always get those two confused. Pokemon Red and Blue is 25. Okay.
I think a lot of it is...
some of these are fascinating. Halo is higher than Halo 3. Halo 1, I don't think holds up that well. The remaster's better, but like, I think almost every game in that franchise has a much better campaign and multiplayer mode.
Yeah. And I really think some of it is like, oh, I just want to give my favorite games instead of actually thinking through like what are the best games. And that was even how Gene Park kind of like, he said, you know, he put Resident Evil 4 at the top of his list because he wanted to give it some motion on the list. I think it ended up at 11.
I would be so fascinated one day to like have somebody create like a top 10 list, which is like, you can't use Zelda, you can't use Mario, you can't use Final Fantasy, and you can't use From Software, and it has to be games before 2010. I know that's a lot of caveats, but it'd be so fascinating to see what people...
Can't use the best games. What are the 10 best games that are not the best games? Well, I mean, I hear you.
Because, like, I mean, yes, if you say some of your favorite games, Mario's going to dominate a lot of them. Link's going to come up there sometimes. I mean, mine would be a bit, you know, like, I'd have a Xenoblade, I have Skies of Arcadia up there. Sonic 2 is up there for me.
I think it's a better discussion, though, than, like...
But, yes, it's like... Or not even, like, I mean, kind of like how we have, like, those games that are, like, this is just going to go into the Hall of Fame without any discussion, but then there's, like, the odd ones where it's, like, we're going to sit, like, does this deserve? Because I do think there are games. I think we do a much better job with this in movies. Like, there are things that may have been of their time, but, like, time and, you know, distance, it's easy to kind of go back and be like, okay, no, this is really, really good. Or this was ahead of its time. It just needed X, Y, and Z to improve. I think we had this discussion, or I don't know if it was here, or I had joked with friends. I do honestly think there should be a movement to remake some, not necessarily terrible games, but like games that were like flawed in like a fundamental, like you were just not there when the technology was there yet. Just because I faded on NSO, I think of something like Win Back, which is like a third person cover shooter, which was on a system that had one analog stick, which you had to aim with. Like, if that had came out after Gears of War, I think it would have been a much better received game because then we understood what we needed and how that works. I think a lot of fighting games, in the late 90s when they were transitioning to 3D, didn't really understand that. And then like you got stuff like Soul Calibur and DOA, which is like, oh no, this is how you navigate in a 3D space. And then, you know, stuff like Mortal Kombat 4 and War Gods, like, would they have been different if they had come out like 3 or 4 years after the fact? Stuff like that.
Yeah, that list is out there. It's an interesting thing to look at. I don't agree with it, but it was interesting to kind of see these people that are in the industry and you know how what they view as the best 100 at this point, I guess. Well, that's it. We're gonna wrap this so Earl and Jeff can go wait for Breath of the Wild. Tears of the Kingdom. Hotk.
Okay, so I know we were, but I was playing games with friends yesterday, and I was like, "Oh, you folks excited for Friday? Like, what's Friday?" I'm like, "It's Tears of the Kingdom." I'm like, "What's that? What's that?" And it dawned on me, just because Chris, how many people have not gotten used to referring to that as that name? It's either the new Zelda or the Breath of the Wild sequel.
I mean, it took me a while, but now the name has stuck with me.
It is. I mean,
I like the title. I think it's a cool title.
Oh, I mean, like it's a whatever title. I mean, calling it Spade a Spade. Most of these other titles are pretentious. My favorite ones are Into the Past, just because it's a fun pun. The Wind Waker, and I think Between Worlds. Everything else is like Ocarina of Time's kind of pretentious. Fire Princess, Skyward Sword. None of these things may mean anything. Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom definitely don't mean anything, but they work. It's whatever. But it was just, part of it is like, when you think about it, the game already got a title like 6 months ago.
Yeah, because it was just like, we're making a new Zelda and it's the sequel to Breath of the
Wild. Yeah. So it's a sequel to Breath of the Wild or Breath of the Wild 2 or whatever. So it is weird for people to just get used to it now.
Well, most people I know, if I told them, you know, the sequel to Breath of the Wild, they'd say, "What is Breath of the Wild?" Which is a good thing, because I don't need people knowing why I'm not at work tomorrow. I was under the weather.
Oh, I had some massive.
You were crying. You had tears of the kingdom. You were so broken up over Charles' coronation that's
right.
It's caught up to you, and you have tears.
I was just so sick. I was like, I was having a Wind Waker.
It would be so funny if my pregnant stepdaughter had to do part of my route tomorrow, so I could sit home and play.
your pregnant stepdaughter who. I had an accident while working.
Well, she's first day back tomorrow, so she's way too slow. She's stuck on like one of the biggest routes in the office. She's fucked. But it would be funny. It would be funny.
So Tony, are your kids getting Tears of the Kingdom?
I have it pre-ordered. It should be arriving tomorrow.
So we will have opinions from you three, at least. Well, you'll if you don't play it, you'll have.
I mean, I want to play it. I certainly want to play it. So
we'll have opinions from these three gentlemen on the newest Zelda.
Oh, fucking
Zelda. And I'll just continue to sit here and go, where's my new Mario game?
You'll also have opinions. I'll have finally my opinions on the Super Mario Brothers movie.
How are you going to say it?
Parentheses 1993.
Oh.
I'm 30 minutes into it. It is something.
It is very much something.
It is something.
I also was going to say, and I thought that's what Jeff was getting to, is that right now, knock on wood, it is expected to go to VOD on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, but I don't think I'm going to purchase Mario. I'm going to wait till it's a cheaper rental.
It's also, I mean, I understand, not that I would ever encourage it, but if you sail the high seas.
Yeah, I don't fuck with that.
who owns Illumination?
At Paramount. No, Universal. So it'll be on
Peacock at some point?
Yeah, it'll be on Peacock. Because those are the Minion people. Yeah, that's Peacock.
Probably a little ways away.
Yeah,
I might wait for that. Even it's not like it's super high priority.
I will say Peacock is so fascinating because I mean the animated movies or whatever. But they did Halloween, and that both Halloween movies came out day and date on Peacock, and then Five Nights at Freddy's is coming out on Peacock same day and date. But the animated films are like, no, we'll do the theaters and
Yeah, it's weird. It's like a case by case basis. I don't think it's just animated.
No, but... it's not, because they also did that George Clooney film with the one with the husband and wife that are divorced going to their daughter's wedding.
No idea. Knock at the Cabin. You had to wait.
Yeah, that was one.
By the way, I like Peacock. I'm subscribed to it. They won me over.
I'm subscribed to it because I have to be, because I can't miss my premium live events from the WWE.
And it's not, it's what, is it $10 a month? It's not it's bad.
Five bucks, I think.
Five? I don't know.
They just give it away. So I got a deal where I'm paying $250 a month for the next, I guess until February of next year, because it was like half off. I'm like, okay, I'd rather pay you up front, but like, I'll pay you $250 a month to get a few ads. And they're usually pretty good with the movies, because like what they do, they just put all of them in the front. So it's like, here's 3 minutes of ads. And I'm like, I'm just going to go get myself a drink or something, and you do your thing.
Yeah, it's, I like it. Check out Bupkiss. It's, I think it's pretty funny.
Bupkiss?
Bupkiss.
Bupkiss. Bupkiss.
Yeah. Fucking Pete Davidson comes on his mom in the first scene of the first episode. But, so.
What?
Yeah.
Glad you went with that, so I can just, I can avoid that.
He's jerking off in his basement, and his mom is played by Edie Falco, and she comes downstairs like right as he's coming, and he shoots it on her fucking shirt.
Jesus.
Hilarious.
And Disney and Hulu are merging next year.
Well, I mean, they're already, but yes, they're merging into one app. Much like we're getting with Discovery and, I guess, Max when they merge in 2 weeks?
Yeah, that should be soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and I guess Disney Plus is just the Hulu app everywhere else in the world, right? Like,
yeah, it's Starz or something like that.
Yeah. I just looked up that Bupkiss thing, and, like, the news underneath, like, Brad Garrett talks about having sex with Pete Davidson. Nope. Like, what the fuck is going on here?
He gets him a prostitute. Pete Davidson gets his grandpa, played by Joe Pesci. Boy, Pesci, very funny in it. He gets him a prostitute. Don't ask me why. He doesn't want to have sex with a prostitute, but his, his uncle or whatever does. But he's having trouble, like, fucking the prostitute, like, moving mobility wise because he's old, and he has Pete Davidson come over and move his hips for him. Dude, what? The first episode was pretty outrageous. Yeah,
have any of you watched Jury Duty?
No, I've heard of it.
Is that the one where the guy doesn't know he's it's like a reality series, he doesn't know he's part of a reality series, but he's on this jury?
Yes, the only reason I bring it up, and this is a minor spoiler, I mean, it's a spoiler, but Jeff mentioned it. It has a scene where, I won't say which character it is, but like, it's like a character pretending to be a virgin, and he doesn't want to have sex with this woman to break his virginity, but he's like, what if he does, I think it's like basting, I think he calls it, which is like, he puts his penis in her, and like somebody else jumps on the bed, so he's not thrusting.
It's basically something like that. It was just like,
yeah, but you imagine he was moving his hips for him.
Yeah.
So it's like somebody else coming in to do this. Like, okay.
I wonder if like the rest of the like show is. I think they like were really trying to like catch your attention with the first episode, but it's pretty funny. It's Pete Davidson as himself, which is weird.
But, I didn't realize he had a personality besides his huge penis.
I didn't realize he had a personality aside from being himself.
Let's not talk about the huge penises.
Yeah, no. Oh,
and his theater too close to home.
Yeah. I did see one clip float around Twitter though, where the Art the Clown shows up in the show for some reason.
Like from Terrifier?
Yes.
He shows up in that Pete Davidson comedy.
Yes.
What the fuck is going on?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. All right. That's wild. It's time for you guys to get to your midnight release.
Gotta make my drink. I gotta pour my glass of tap water and sit down in my depressing dark
house. Get on the bus.
Yeah, get on the bus and Find something to live for.
Sure, go do that. I'm gonna get ready to go see Taylor Swift, Jeff.
F you. I'll He's never here. Not be mad about it.
He's in town. He's here in Jeff, town this week.
So. Jeff, you just need to shake it off. Shake it off.
Hang on.
So Jeff just quit. He's like, screw you guys. I'm out. All right. Well, Earl, say goodnight.
Good night, and Zayu. Until next time.